You're listening to Radio Influence.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. I thought we had a wonderful show last week with Trevor Sikkema from the Pewter Report. We're going to make sure we get him on again. I had him on the air with me last week. Ron was out of town, and Trevor got a chance to sit down for an hour. I just think he does a wonderful job breaking down the Buccaneers, and I will definitely get that done again. So we'll talk a little bit about the Buccaneers this week. One bit of NFL news, Chris Long retired after 11 years, so good for him, wonderful career. It's a good way to go out, you know, the way you want to go out. Now he's going to be struggling to fill that void like we all do, but he played 11 years, so good for him. Congratulations, has a wonderful career. Now, I'm looking around the NFL at who's saying what, and there was one NFL specialist, expert, Kyle Brandt, that came out and was saying that the Buccaneers are going to be the one surprise team this year. And when I hear people say that, I wonder why they're saying it. And it made me go back and look at some of the statistics and some of the things going on with the Buccaneers. Now, as a Buccaneer fan, you're hoping that, you know, your team excels and plays at its best. Now, if Bruce Arians and his staff find a way to go 8-8 with this Buccaneer team this year, I think it's a testament to how much better of coaching staff he'll be than Dirk Cutter's coaching staff, because this team on paper is substantially less talented than last year's team on paper, period. Okay, not maybe, not period. A lot of this team is the same, so we can't chalk it up for being better. Maybe, hopefully, you're better. You're 1 year better, but we have the same players. You probably don't expect players like Donovan Smith and Damar Dotson and Jensen to be getting better, okay? They're going to be about the same, if not worse, because they're getting a little bit older. Damar Dotson, for sure, is getting a little older. Ali Marpet probably has some getting better to do, and whoever the right guard may be has a lot of getting better to do. But as a whole, we're about the same. Tight end, we're the same. Wide receiver, we lost the number two and number four leading wide receiver with Humphreys and DeSean Jackson, whether you liked them or not. That's losing. Running back, we're the same. Now, offensive statistically, you know, I'm looking at the grand scheme of things. We have to be a different looking offense this year to survive, okay? We put too much on Jameis, and we put too much on Ryan Fitzpatrick as well. And what happened was we won 5-11 again. Looking statistically, this team rushed the ball 389 times last year, which is not a lot. 3.9 yards a carry. Now, it doesn't sound bad from the outside, but when you look at it and the minutiae of it and you break it down, we had 3.9 yards a carry and 389 rushes, but we had two running quarterbacks, okay? We had two quarterbacks that run a lot. Tom Brady runs twice a year. Jameis ran 49 times last year, and Fitzpatrick ran 36 times. So that's 85 runs. So we really had 300 rushes by our running backs, which is not enough, okay? And 3.9 yards a carry, considering our quarterbacks are carrying that much, is not enough. So, you know, breaking it down, we only rushed the ball about 24 times a game. That's not the equation for victory in the NFL. It really isn't. We pass the ball all over the place. We actually average almost 40 passes a game. Okay, look around, people. There's some quarterbacks that can do that and get away with it. Drew Brees, Brady. We can go on. There's a few more. You know, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson still doesn't want to throw the ball 40 times, but he can. But these are equations for failure that we've been using for quite a while under Dirk Cutter. They're equations for failure. And when you're looking at a team that went 20 for 27 with field goals and had a turnover ratio of minus 18, that you're lucky to have gone 5-11. Seriously. This team was lucky to go 5-11 with a minus 18 turnover ratio and can't make any field goals. So turnover ratio has to be better this year. field goal kicking has to be better this year. We have to run the ball more this year. We have to protect the passer more this year, offensively, period. Now, the funny part is, the offense might be the best part of our team. Defensively, we didn't stop nobody last year. 27th ranked, 383 yards a game. That's almost 400 yards a game. If you go back to the Buccaneers' defense during the tenure of Monty Kiffin and Rod Marinelli and all those guys, they don't give up 400 yards a game ever. Forget about average. They never gave up 400 yards a game. You're not getting 400 yards against that defense, okay? We're getting 123 yards rushing a game. We had second to last in points per game. We gave up almost 30 points a game. Only Oakland gave up more. We almost gave up 30 points per game. Do you remember the Buccaneers back in the day, how many points they used to ask for? 17. So if you get 17, you lose all the games, every last one of them. They asked for 17 points back in the day, and we gave up 30 points a game. The unfortunate part was, in sacks, we actually were about middle of the road sack-wise with 41 sacks. But we unfortunately probably lost JPP with 12 and a half sacks, and we're most likely going to lose Gerald McCoy with 6 sacks. So that's half the sacks. So I don't know. The one thing we're average at is sacking the quarterback. We lost substantial firepower. Plus, this defense is changing its scheme, and normally it takes a while to get acclimated with a new scheme. So once again, Kyle Brandt, you're picking the Buccaneers to be the surprise team, but I have to ask you why. I'm a realist. I'm not a pessimist. I'm not an optimist. I'm a realist. Realistically, this team has a good chance to be worse than 5-11, realistically. Now, the two players that we have on the team right now that are kind of the polarizing players, and they have been for a while, are Gerald McCoy, who's still on the team, and Jameis Winston. Now, this is another thing. There's this, everybody treats and they talk about Gerald McCoy in a weird, weird light, okay? And it's been the same way his whole career. Everybody acts like he used to be great and now he's, his play is diminishing. Gerald McCoy has been about the same player his whole career, okay? And really, Jameis Winston has too in a weird way. And, I did the math myself, okay? Gerald McCoy averaged about 33 tackles a game, 8.5 assists, and 6 sacks, okay? 33, 8, and 5. Last year, that everybody says he had a down year, he had 28, 11, and 6. Those numbers are almost exactly the same. They're almost of his average, exactly. Now, people will say, well, he had some years where he had some injuries. Okay, if you take out some of his best years and take out some of his worst years, this is still average. So Gerald McCoy, who was supposed to be the disruptor, averaged 1.5 tackles a game and 1 sack every 2.5 games. What the hell are you disrupting? While you're taking your time disrupting, teams are going up and down the field and getting 400 yards a game. We don't have time for your disrupting bullshit, okay? Go make some damn plays. Let's go make some tackles and put quarterbacks on the ground. So if you guys think that 28, 11, and 6 is worth $13 million, I mean, I got a bridge to sell you, okay? That ain't going to happen. Now, Jameis Winston is the other guy who's kind of that funny anomaly, and everybody thinks that Jameis Winston played so poorly last year. Jameis Winston played exactly like he played last year. That's about par. Jameis Winston average, looking at all the years he had, he averaged about 3,600 yards passing. He had about 14 interceptions and 22 touchdowns, okay? It's about average for him. Last year, he had almost 33,000 yards passing, which is up a little bit because he missed 3 games. So you got to figure he was minus 600 in yards, but he missed 3 games. He would have went over that. So yardage-wise, he's probably above his average. He had 19 touchdowns, which is about the same, of 22 minus 3 games. And he had 14 interceptions, which is up a little bit because if you played 3 more games, you're throwing some more interceptions. So minus 3 games, Jameis probably did better than he normally does yardage-wise, about the same in touchdowns, and he had more interceptions. So it was about the same. And everybody thinks that Gerald McCoy had an off year or Jameis Winston had an off year. This is what Jameis Winston is right here. And this is what Gerald McCoy is. And this is what we can expect to happen this year if these guys are on a team. But the thing is, you know, especially with Jameis Winston, those numbers will change if we start doing some things around Jameis Winston to help him, other than have him drop straight back 40 times a game and get obliterated like he has been doing the last few years. So to me, Bruce Arians and Bowles and all those guys, they have a job to do to put a supporting cast with some of these players. Once again, I don't think Gerald McCoy is going to be on this team. I don't think there's any possible way he can be on a team and smile and act like he's a big part of what's happening here, especially since the head coach, you know, challenges manhood and then he challenged him back. I don't foresee it happening. So in the next little while, I see something happen with Gerald McCoy. As far as Jameis Winston goes, I see this team being about the same as last year. At the end of the year, having a very tough decision with Jameis Winston because I don't think they have enough tools around him to really evaluate him and let us know whether he's the man and he's the future of this team or not. So Bruce Arians has a tough feat. There's a lot of young kids out there. I like the way he's kind of chin-checking Vernon Hargraves and seeing what he's all about. And I like a coach that challenges his players, and I think Bruce Arians is that guy. I just don't know if this year we have enough firepower, unfortunately. Now, if you guys have any questions for me or want to tell me how you guys think this team is going to do, you can hit me up at ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. You can always hit me up. And I also have some other podcasts you guys want to check out on all the Radio Influence streams. And obviously the Ron and Ian Show, Monday through Friday, 3 to 7, 95.3 FM and 620 WDAE. You want to check that out as well. But I want to appreciate you guys listening in. It's always great talking a little extra football, and I think people are enjoying it. So everybody, enjoy their week, and please be safe. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
This is a Sitting Ringside with David Penzer quick fix on Radio Influence.
Please welcome my guest this week. She is a TNA Impact Hall of Famer and a seven-time TNA Impact Women's Champion, the one and only Gail Kim.
I think it's just political as you would get anywhere else in your job. Oh, well, that's not true. I would say their politics is on another level because I didn't experience that in Impact or TNA at all. WWE is definitely, you know, it's a big corporation. Of course, there's going to be politics and a more cutthroat environment. And I will say, I mean, I made friends. I'm not really much of a politicker. So for me, my friendships were probably, you know, they were more important to me, the relationships I had with those girls. So I think different personalities fit well in that company. For people, and you know, you can normally tell, you meet people in this business, and if I know they're going to go to WWE, it's kind of like, you know whether their personality is going to fit in or not, or, in terms of success, in terms of the politics, because some people are just cut out for that, and some people are not, you know? So for me, I always believe that I was not made up for that company, because I'm not willing to do the things that maybe you hear about.
Sitting Ringside with David Penzer can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.